come to exalt the name of the Lord today. Amen. To feel his presence, to partake of his body. Today's Palm Sunday. Amen. And so in Palm Sunday, how many knows there's a lot of stuff that happens between Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday? The triumphal entry into the city, the Passover feast, the washing of the disciples' feet, the instruction from Jesus in John chapter 14 that he would send the Comforter, the Garden of Gethsemane, the arrest, the betrayal with the kiss, the accusations, the false accusing, the beating, the crucifixion, and resurrection. A week, oh, what a difference a week makes. Amen? Oh, what a difference 3 days and three nights make. You know, I believe that sometimes we probably give up moments too soon if we just hang on. It might seem like Friday to you, but Sunday's on the way. Amen? How many ever had a Friday season where it seemed like everything was dark and it seemed like everything was forsaken? It seemed like life was brutal. Amen? But buddy, if you just hang on, Jesus was about to split the veil of the temple and rent from the top to the bottom. The earth was about to shake. How many are ready for a shaking in the earth in this season today? Amen. Hallelujah. So it may seem like darkness, and it may seem like it's the end. But how many know there was a resurrection Sunday, that very early on a Sunday morning, some women came to the tomb with their hands full of spices to anoint a dead body? Hallelujah. But the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here." How many are thankful that he's not there because he's in here? He said to the disciples on the night that he was betrayed, and the night that he took the Passover and the communion meal with them, and the night that he washed their feet, and he said, "You know, one of you are going to betray me. One of you are going to deny me." He looks at Peter, and Peter said, "I'll go to the cross with you, Lord." And Jesus says to Peter, face to face, "Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." That's a hard pill to swallow, amen? Because sometimes, no matter how hard you think you work at it, no matter how much you struggle to make things happen, no matter how committed sometimes you think you are, has anybody in here ever backed down or failed or thought you were stronger than what you were? And he said, "Before the cock crows, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, not just once, not just twice, but three times." But John chapter 13 ends right there, and it goes on over into John chapter 14, and Jesus looks at the disciples, and he said, "But don't let your heart be troubled." See, we end it right there with Peter denying the Lord, and we end it as a chapter. But how many know that that's a continuation? John 13, 14, and on is a continuation of Jesus' summation that he gives to the disciples on the night that he takes the communion meal that we just partook of. He said, "But don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, a place called heaven." But also he went to prepare a place called the cross. What? "That where I am, there you may be also." More powerful than preparing a place with mansions over yonder is preparing a place called Calvary, that he would lay down his life. He said, "No man takes my life, I lay it down. No greater love hath any man than him that would lay down his life for his friends. And now I have called you friends." How many know you're not just servants of God today? You are a friend of God. You are a son. And if you are a son, then you're an heir to all the things that the Father has for you. It's a powerful week of celebration. I love Easter. I love Christmas, but I love Easter. Easter's like getting a breath of fresh air. That's it. It's like springtime. I'm ringing a little bit for some reason. It's like getting your breath back. Amen. It's like there's new growth and new seasons. Bless their hearts. I've been looking at the daffodils, and some of them outside our window at school are just kind of hanging their head over a little bit because they bloomed a little bit before their season. But how many are thankful that the daffodils are out even when the snow's blowing? the crocuses and the hyacinths and all those things are starting to come up. Why? Because it's their season. It's their season to come alive. And Easter just reminds me of just new life and coming alive. And I don't think we don't get so bogged down on Easter as we do with Christmas, with all the chaos and the gifts and the packages and all those things. But Easter's just a time of celebration. Amen. And it's a time to just lift up the name of Jesus. And we've not been able to really effectively do that like we've wanted to for the last 2 years. How many are thankful that's behind us? Amen. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God through it, during it, in it, and beyond. Amen. And so God's faithfulness to us, to all generations, and to in every season of our life, I'm thankful for that. I want to go to the book of Exodus this morning first, because I want to talk a little bit about the Passover. We know that when we observe the Lord's body, we're talking about the Jesus rode into the city to observe the Passover with his disciples. How many know Jesus was Jewish? Yeah. He was a good Jewish boy. He fulfilled all that the law required of him. Amen? And so he rode into the city to have the Passover feast with his disciples. But we get the reference from our Passover feast when we go back to the book of Exodus. And to set the stage of the story, we remember that Jacob had sons, right? The 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Israel. And how many know not all the time did Jacob's sons behave? Amen? That's the way boys are, right? Just kidding. Anybody ever fight with your brothers? No. We're just playing. And so they were younger brother, Benjamin and Joseph, and they were by Rachel. And how many remember that Joseph was sold into slavery, right? They sold him to the Midianites who were going down into Egypt. Why? Because they were jealous of the father's favor on Joseph. How many are thankful for favor on you tonight? Today, I'm thankful for the favor of God. And so because he had the favor of his father, they sold him down into Egypt. And while he was in Egypt, he was falsely accused. He was misrepresented. He was thrown into jail. He was in the prison house, and he was interpreting dreams. And when the butcher and the baker and the candy stick maker got their dreams interpreted, he said, now when you go before Pharaoh, don't forget about me. And how many know they forgot about him? Because sometimes you can do all you want to for somebody else, but when your time comes, they don't always remember, right? And so there comes a time when Pharaoh has a dream and needs somebody to interpret his dream, and all of a sudden they have an aha moment and said, oh, I know someone who can interpret dreams. And they call for Joseph, and Joseph interprets the dreams of Pharaoh and says there's a time of famine coming. And there's going to be 7 years of plenty, but then there's going to be 7 years of famine. You need to store up and stock up. You need to buy extra Charmin because there's not going to be any on the shelf. Right? During a time of famine. And so he promotes Joseph to a place of authority, and he puts him in second in command to the Pharaoh. And Joseph stores up plenty, and people come from everywhere to get corn when Joseph is in charge, and his brethren come down into Egypt to get corn and realize ultimately that Joseph was the man who saved their lives during a famine. However, the children of Israel ended up staying in Egypt for 400 years. And in that time span became slaves and became in bondage to the Egyptians and made bricks and worked for the Egyptians and were in slavery because they had been there long enough that they forgot who they were. How many know you can be in a time of famine, you can be in a time of crisis, you can be in the land of Moab long enough that you forget who you are? Come on, somebody, we got to remember the call of God on our life and what God has called us to and who we are and rise up Amen. And begin to build and rise up and begin to stand up for who we are. And how many know God sends Moses down, and he sends Moses, and he said, Moses, I want you to go down and speak to Pharaoh because I'm going to set my people free out of Egyptian bondage. Anybody seen the movie Prince of Egypt? Couple of you. Anybody read your Bible story? Moses and crossing of the Red Sea and all the plagues. And so they are down in Egypt, and they are captive. God sends the plagues. God begins to work among the people, and he says to them, I'm going to lead my people Israel out of Egypt, and here's how I'm going to do it. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 12. It said, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. I want you to read that with me again. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. How many are ready for this month to be unto you the beginning of months? A beginning of change, a beginning of shifting, a beginning of new things that are about to happen. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Take the blood and strike it on the two doorposts of the upper door, post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of its raw, nor sodden it all with water. Don't water it down. Don't eat it raw, but roast it with fire. His legs, his head, his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. So, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So God begins to speak to them, and he said, I'm about to lead you out of Egyptian bondage. I'm about to set you free from this place. And he said, when we do it, he said, I want you to take a lamb in the house. And I want you to take what is take enough for your house. And he said, I want you to put the blood on the doorpost. I want you to take the lamb in the house. But I want you to do it with your staff in your hand, your shoes on your feet, your cloak on, ready for an exodus out of Egypt. How many know it's the blood on the doorpost of our heart? It's the lamb, not just the blood on the doorpost of our heart, but it's the lamb in the house. Amen. That gives us the ability to stand up in Egyptian bondage and say, this is not who I am. I don't belong here, and I'm coming up out of Egypt. And he said, get your staff in your hand. Get your family ready. Get your shoes on your feet. Prepare yourself, because we are coming out of this place of bondage, and we're about to progress into a place that God had prepared for them, a place called the Promised Land. Hallelujah. You know, when I look around at what we've been in the last few years and the things that we walk through, how many of you are ready to get your staff in your hand and your shoes on your feet and say, I'm coming out of this place. Our country is coming out of this place. We're moving beyond this place of bondage. We're moving beyond this place of fear. We're moving beyond this place of misplaced identity. And God is about to bring us into a promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. But before you can ever experience the promised land, you got to get out of Egypt. But how many know the problem was that when he began to bring the people out of Egypt, he brought them out of Egypt, but he had a hard time getting Egypt out of them. I mean, God gave them a deliverance. God gave them victory, brought them out, and they come to a place called the Red Sea, and they said, what are we going to do now? You've brought us out here to die. How many know it doesn't take people very long to remember the promises and the miracles of God until the next crisis arises, and then we're going to accuse God, what are you going to do now? How many know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? And so they get to the Red Sea, and God says to Moses, well, what's in your hand? And he said, a rod. He said, stretch it out over the Red Sea, because the Egyptians you see today, you will see no more forever. Hallelujah. And so he stretches out the rod, and you know the story. They cross over the Red Sea on dry ground. But those things that tormented them, those things that pursued them, those things that chased them, how many know they were buried in the bottom of the Red Sea because God gave them victory that day. And when they got to the other side, they cried out for water, and God gave them water from a rock. How many are thankful today that he's your supplier? That he's your victory, that your enemies cannot pursue you. And our enemies are not so much people. It's not the person beside you on the pew. It's not the person who cuts you off in traffic. It's not even politicians. How many know your enemy is what happens in here? Your enemy is your doubt, your fear, your failures, your shame, those things that constantly want to aggravate you, those things that constantly want to torment you. How many know Jesus wants to bury them under a Red Sea of baptism, that they no longer are resurrected up? But when you were buried with him in baptism, those things were put to death. They were buried with him. You resurrected a new creation. You do not have to live in your old self or in your old sin. How many know he has made you a new creation and a new creature in Christ Jesus? And so he gave them victory, and he brought them through the Red Sea. And so then when we see Jesus in his ministry, he comes along to the place of, go ahead to Luke chapter 19. So when Jesus is coming and making his triumphal entry into the city, he's coming in to make his appearance as king. He's coming in to make his appearance as Savior. He's coming in to make his appearance as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How many know people would bring their spotless lamb into Jerusalem to be sacrificed in the temple for their remission of sins? How many know that's what was happening at the Feast of the Passover? How many of you are glad you didn't have to go out today and chase down a woolly lamb and bring it to church with you? Because that's how church was in the old covenant. You had to bring your sacrifice. You had to bring your lamb. You had to bring. I stopped yesterday and took a picture of this little cow that was standing along the road. And it had this little freckled face. I said, that is just the cutest little face I have seen today. Sorry, babe. But that was the cutest little face that I had seen, this little cow. And I'm just so thankful I didn't have to rustle him up and bring him to church with me today. Amen. It wasn't even my cow. But he really was cute. But how many know they would bring their lambs into the city, and it would be offered for the sins of their family, and it would be a lamb without sacrifice and a lamb without blemish. And as Jesus is riding into the city, he's coming in to celebrate the communion. He's coming in to celebrate the Feast of the Passover, the very things that we partook of today. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 29, it says, and it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go you into the village over against you, and the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat, loose him and bring him thither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, why loose ye the colt? And he said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the ascent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. saying, Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. He sends two of his disciples and he says, go into Bethany and go to the place, and you're going to find a village and find a colt tied. Now, the next scripture, and we'll get a chance to read it, says, go into the village and you will find a man carrying a pitcher of water. Say to him, the Lord wants to make ready a room. And when we see that, it says, you will find a man carrying a pitcher of water. Now, he sent him into a city and says, go and find a man who's carrying a pitcher of water. Without running water, yeah. And everybody has a pitcher, right? But what's the difference? Why does he say that? Because men rarely ever went to the well. Women carried the water. Remember the story of the woman at the well. If you see a man carrying a pitcher of water, go to him and ask him. How many know that there is, in that culture, most of the time, the men had other responsibilities and other duties, and women would go to the well. The woman that went to the well, when Jesus sat down on her well, she went in the middle of the afternoon, which was unusual because she would have went to the well early in the morning. But quite possibly because of her situation, she waited till all the other women left so she didn't have to deal with all the other women and all the stuff that was being said at the well. And when Jesus passes by there and sits down on her well, and she had come to the well, and he said, he begins to ask her for a drink. And she said, why would you, a Jew, ask me, a woman, for a drink? Number one, a Jew would normally talk to me. Number two, you wouldn't dare drink out of my bucket because I'm a Samaritan. I'm considered unclean. I'm not considered one of the righteous or the holy people. I'm a Samaritan woman, and besides that, I've got issues. Now, I could ask for a raise of hand this morning. Any of you in here today got issues? But all of us across the board would have to raise one hand and one foot because, I mean, we've had some issues. But she came to the well that day, and Jesus said, I have a need to go through Samaria. And when he sits down on the well, he begins to talk to her. He said, my darling, if you would ask me for a drink, I would give you a drink that you would never thirst again. And he said, how can you give me a drink? This well is very deep. How many know it was Jacob's well, and the well of deception? Jacob's name means deception and deceit and betrayal. That well is a very deep well, and I've been drawing from that well. But Jesus said, if you ever quit drawing from Jacob's well, and if you ever start drawing from my well, I would give you water that you would drink again. And if you ever drink it, it will be like a river out of your belly, and it will flow with living water. And she says to him, well, I perceive that you are a prophet. You just read my book. He said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you have well said, because you've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And that, she says to him, man, this guy must be a prophet. He has read my book. He knows all about me. Hallelujah. But how many know that Jesus did not take offense at her weaknesses or at her life or all of those things? Because the thing that will change you is an encounter with Jesus. When you quit drinking from the wells that you've been drinking from and you start drinking from a well of living water that will give you life everlasting, how many know it'll change something in you? See, when I come into the house and I start to worship, it's like a fresh drink of water to me. Hallelujah. And I start to hear the harmony, and I start to see the kids dance, and I start to see people raise their hands, and I start to feel the presence of the Lord in a house. It's like a drink of fresh water, and all of a sudden I feel something start to stir inside of me, because life gets stirred up inside of you. And when that happens, sickness has to go, doubt has to go, fear has to go, because the more you pour water into a dirty jug, the more it pushes the dirt out and more the clean water comes in. Amen? I mean, no, that's how Jesus operates. If I was to take a bottle of water today and put Kool-Aid in it or put dirt particles in there, I could spend all day trying to pick them things back out of there. All day. And I would never get it done. I mean, that's what we've done a lot of times, I think, is we spend all of our time trying to pick the little particles out of our life and all of those things that we think don't belong there. But if you ever just put it under a fountain of running water and you let it run long enough, guess what's going to happen? It's going to wash all the dirt and all the particles out of that bottle until there's nothing in there that's left except what's clean. I mean, that's how Jesus operates. That's why he gives the parable of the tares, the wheat and the tares. And they said, Lord, should we go in and pluck the tares out of those fields? He said, no, let them alone. Because if you go in to take out those things that you think are tares, or those things that you think are bad, you're going to pluck up those things that are good. He said, wait till harvest time, you'll be able to tell the difference. How many know it's the things that we feed, the things that we fertilize, and the things that we nurture is what will grow. Amen? The things that we give our energy to is what will grow. But if you'll let that other stuff go, how many know it'll just be like chaff in the wind? And so he rides into the city, and he tells them, he said, you're going to find a colt that's never been ridden. Say to the good man, the Lord has need of him. What Jesus is about to do, another scripture said there was a colt and a foal tethered to him. And he gets ready to ride into the city. He said, bring them both to me. How many know Jesus rides back into the city on Palm Sunday on a donkey, on a colt, and a foal of an ass? That's what the scriptures tell us, right? When a king would come back from battle and they would come marching into the city, they would come in on a war horse. And they would come in as a fighter, and they would come in as king, and the people would throw their garments down, and the people would give honor to the kings and to the warriors as they came back in on a war horse. But how many know Jesus came riding in on a donkey, a symbol of peace? He said, I didn't come to bring war, but I come to bring peace. And he comes riding into the city on the old donkey, the old colt tethered behind him with a new covenant was about to be ushered into the city. How many know no one had ever ridden that animal before, but Jesus is about to usher a new way, a new covenant, a new life, a new testament into the city. I mean, what he was about to do was to become the perfect lamb of sacrifice. He was about to come into the temple. They were about to accuse him and inspect him and look him over and see if truly he was a lamb without blemish. Remember when Pilate stands up and says, I find no fault in this man. How many know he said, there is no blemish in this lamb. That's what he was saying to everybody. There is no blemish in this lamb. I find no fault in him. And he comes riding into the city on the colt and the foal of an ass, and he ushers in, and they begin to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And they begin to honor him as king, and they begin to lay their garments down, and they begin to stand before him. And the scribes and the Pharisees get all upset, and they said, don't you hear what these people are saying? And I love this. I didn't notice it till last night, but in the first part of the scripture, it said Jesus was coming from Jericho. And what I love about this, if you remember a couple Sundays ago, we were talking about, remember when Joshua gets ready to cross over the Jordan, and they're carrying the mercy seat, right? And they step into the Jordan. The mercy seat was the Ark of the Covenant. It was the presence of God. It was a box that they carried the presence of God in. And when they got ready to step into the Jordan, remember that the waters rolled back and the people began to walk over on dry ground, right? You remember that? And he tells the priest, he said, I want you to get a stone out of the Jordan, and I want you to carry it on your shoulders. How many know it had to be a pretty big stone if you had to carry it on your shoulders? a little rock you could carry in your pocket, right? I want you to carry those stones over, and I want you to pile them up. Bring them to the other side, just outside of Jericho, because they're getting ready to walk around the walls of Jericho. He said, bring them over, pile them rocks up there. And they said, when the generations yet to come say, what meaneth these rocks? He said, I want you to say to them, these are the rocks of the testimony of the children of Israel who came through the promised land, who walked across on dry ground with the Ark of the Covenant and came over into their promised land. Jesus makes a statement when they began to cry out and they began to say, Hosanna in the highest, and they began to lift their voices, and they said, Master, you got to quiet these people down. They're calling you the Messiah. They're calling you the Savior. They're calling you the King. He said, if I should silence them, these very rocks will cry out. How many know those rocks, they would have been standing behind beside the pile of rocks that they had carried out of the Jordan River and piled up for a memorial. He said, you can silence them all you want to, but the rocks will speak for themselves. The rocks will tell the tale. Anybody in here got some rocks that are ready to cry out and say, I remember the memorials. I remember the goodness of God. I remember the presence of God in my life. I remember the victories. I remember the time where his presence went before us. Hallelujah. I remember when he's tore down some Jericho walls for me. I remember when he brought water out of the rock. I remember when he put manna on the ground. I'm going to tell you, there's been times in our life where I didn't know where the next check and stuff was coming from. How many know God provided manna on the grass? Not in a natural grass, but how many know God is my provision? He's brought water out of the rock. He said, you can quiet them down if you want to. But these very rocks will cry out as a testimony of the favor of God and what God is about to usher in. And so it ushers him into the city, and he rides in on that old and new covenant symbolism of what Jesus is about to do, is introduced to what we know as the New Testament, the New Covenant. The Lord said, tell them that the Lord has need of them. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord has need of you. Hallelujah. He has need of you. We are the vehicle of peace that ushers in the grace of the new covenant to a city that is waiting to hear. Do you realize that you are the vehicle of the new covenant of his grace that will usher in what God is doing in this season? He has need of you. You say, what does that mean, Pastor Lisa? We're his hands, his feet, his mouth extended in the earth. We are the example. We witness, we invite, we bring people to the knowledge of Jesus. He would ride in on an old colt, but he would usher in the new in a way that no man had ever ridden this way before. Hallelujah. And Jesus sets with his disciples. In the night that he shares the supper with them. And one of the scriptures says that he said, and he will show you a guest chamber and an upper room. I love that. How many know Jesus eats the Last Supper in an upper room? But there would come a day afterwards on the Feast of Pentecost, 40 days after Passover, a Feast of Pentecost, he would go in an upper room again, and instead of sharing the communion meal, the blood of his body and the blood of his body and his blood that was shed, how many know it would be the inauguration of a new covenant and the coming of the Holy Spirit that would come in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? I mean, it's all symbolic of what Jesus was doing. But I love that he sets in John, I'm going to go to John chapter 13. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye that do them. Before Jesus, before they go into the Garden of Gethsemane, before the betrayal, before all of that happens, Jesus sits down with his closest friends. And he gets up from the table and he takes off his clothes and he puts off his outer garments and he puts a towel around his waist and he girds himself with a towel and he sits down with him and he begins to wash their feet. And the disciples said, Lord, would you wash our feet? And he said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have no part with me. It was not custom. The custom was to have the lowest servant in the house wash the feet of those who had come in. Jesus humbles himself as a servant, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter gets up in arms, and he says, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. And he said, then not just my feet, wash my head, my hands, wash me from head to toe. And Jesus begins to wash them. And here's the thing. He doesn't just wash from, how many know in that climate would have been a dry, dusty, dirty climate? He's not just washing their feet from where they've come from. He's washing their feet for where they're going. And he begins to talk to them and he begins to tell them, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Father. I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will lead and guide you into all truth. He washed the feet of every disciple. Here's the thing, folks. It doesn't matter what your feet look like. It doesn't matter what you've walked through. It doesn't matter how dirty you think they are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters more about where you're going. Because Jesus has the ability with a towel. How many know the towel is mightier than a sword? If you ever want to turn somebody's life around, don't go in with a sword, go in with a towel. And when you begin to wash their feet, and when you begin to humble yourself and say, look, I'm here to serve you in whatever way that I can, and he begins to humble themselves, and he begins to wash their feet. It's not a matter of where you've been. It's a matter of where you're going to. How many of Jesus was about to elevate them to a position of status that 12 disciples, 11 minus Judas, would turn the world upside down, would preach the gospel to the end of the earth? But here's the thing I love. Jesus washed the feet of Judas. He shared the communion table with Judas, the one who would betray him. Because before Judas could ever mess up, how many know Jesus already had bread and wine in his belly? Already had communion life prepared for you. It doesn't matter how much you mess up. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters where you're going and how willing you are to let the blood of Jesus wash you white as snow. Hallelujah. How many know that's the power of the cross? That's the power of blood, that he can take our blackened hearts and wash them with red blood and make us white as snow. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of his love, that he's more concerned about elevating you than he is about it. The scripture says that he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. that you could be elevated and that you could have life and receive all that he is. Stand to your feet with me this morning. The bread, the wine, the communion, those things that we observe today, they're symbols, they're tokens of the Lord's body and his blood. If there's somebody here and you have somebody at home that wasn't able to come and get communion and they would like to have communion, please see me after service and we can get them communion as well. How many know when we realize the power of the blood and the power of the cross, the power of his body, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me." How many know it's what we eat and what we partake of that gives us life and wholeness and health in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As Beth begins to sing something, if there's somebody here today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you have not given your heart to Jesus and you would like to come forward and receive Christ, just like we received communion this morning, it seriously is that easy. We come forward, just say, "Lord, I receive you in all that you are. And that your life works in me." And that opportunity is for you to come and to receive Jesus this morning in all that he is. Put him out at Easter too. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you'd like to receive Jesus, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you need special prayer this morning, if you just need to come forward, if you need prayer as she sings, just be open and be obedient to the Spirit this morning.